Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley filling in for Cody once again. Cody back on Thursday. How are we doing, Bink? I like the hat
good,
today.
Man, good.
I like the hat you're rocking.
Thanks, Gold. Thank you.
Told you that the batting helmet version of that is better.
I like the hat better. I mean, same thing. I mean,
yeah, it's the gloss, I think, on the batting helmet or something.
Well, these are actually their batting practice, but they wear them during the games too, mm-hmm. so they're mm-hmm. dual purpose.
I like it. I like it.
Just something different. I mean, I've got the blue ones, through the years. So it's like, they went something different. The camo one they wear during is cool too. So I may get that next.
Yeah, the 4th of July hats also, people like that. I saw they released the look of what the 4th of July hat's going to be like here in a couple weeks as well. You guys can, check out the hat Bink is wearing if you watch the video stream up and running. Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X, make sure you subscribe. And yeah, it's a bad image for everybody. That's just a really bad image for everybody. You can text into the show as well, 913-586-7965, Jay Southland, Tow Service text line. I think we've already lost Drew to start the show, Bank. You know why? I think we already lost him because right this second, there's some new video, I think, for the college football video game out that Drew's been talking about all morning long.
I'm holding back and I'm waiting until we go to break.
It came out a couple days ago, though, Drew. I showed it to you.
No, there's some new video,
I guess. The Dynasty Deep Dive is today. It just came out.
I guess it's like a deeper dive into what they're going to have in the Dynasty mode this year. And Drew's been talking about it all morning.
Man. It looks like these type of video games, it's so realistic with the snow. Even the Madden one looks awesome. Like, it gets worse and worse. Like, it's snowing, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. But the weather and everything, these games are so awesome.
Yeah, no, look, we
both of them, even the Madden, because usually I kind of shy away from Madden.
I'm very excited.
I'll buy the new college football video game here in a couple weeks, but Drew is going to be locked into this video. We'll see. He can give us an update on that maybe.
This is all Drew will do. This is why Drew skipped a show I did on Sundays, because he's my college football guy, right? Well, both of us like college football, so I'd get excited. Like, hey, I'm going to talk to Drew tomorrow, because he would come on every Sunday before Chiefs played at like 9 o'clock. And one time, no Drew. No Drew whatsoever.
Oh, is this the Bash Drew Again segment?
Have to get it out of the way. I think Bink had a question for you. Wanted to know if you brought it with you today. Are you wearing it today, or did you bring it?
No, I'm not.
I look at it. Okay, so this is now, four straight shows?
No wedding ring for Drew.
And it was like, I'll wear it tomorrow, whatever. Well, tomorrow came, and you didn't. Then there was an off day. And then came Friday.
At this point, I'm convinced he's doing it just to bug you, because it seems like it really annoys you. That
I did have to ask
it.
Him, though, with these little buttons there. I did ask him. I said, I'm just making sure everything's good before I give you crap. I was being nice about it. It's like, I'm giving you a lot of crap about this, but we good?
During commercial break, we do talk. Yes.
You're sure you're good.
But no ring for Drew again today.
Well, I'm curious, though. Why not?
Like Gold said, I'm going to start doing it just to bother you now.
I don't think you'd go to those links.
It's either that or he lost it, and he just—it's one of the two. It's one of those two options.
Bink, at this point, you have talked so much trash about me. I think I would go to that length.
Drew, I never talk any trash to you at all.
Okay,
and that's true. Ask the text line; they'll tell you. And two, I've lost my wedding ring before, and it was an interesting experience. Where you walk with your hand in your pocket the whole time and tell them it was at the third or the, actually it was the largest hotel in America. Without a casino. Can you guess which one that is?
Largest hotel in America without a casino?
Yeah, I thought it was gone forever. I'm like, I'm screwed, man.
Largest hotel.
And I had this thing mailed to my work because I didn't want to say that I lost it.
I have no idea where that would be.
And it was innocent. I was in like the hotel gym or something. I'd set it down, knocked myself out, literally. And because the pin fell out. Never mind. The pin fell out, I knocked myself out. But I lost it. But it's the largest hotel. It's Nashville.
Oh.
It was the Opryland. It was the Opryland. Okay. But it's a huge hotel. Tons of people. And I thought I was screwed, man. I thought no one was going to send this back. And I was shocked, man. It came back.
I'm glad you found it, Bink. And then you lost it a couple years later. But I'm glad you found it.
And I stayed married for a little while.
Yeah. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We're just getting started here on a Tuesday. As you can tell, who knows how the show is going to go today. I will tell you, the AC apparently not working today in the building. So, Bink, just chug some water over there, buddy. And just start chugging it now. Just be ready to roll.
Told you I wasn't wearing pants. Well, this is why.
That's That's a bad image, as I said, for everybody. Let's start the show, though, a little different, talking stadium. Yesterday, towards the end of the show, a couple different new pieces of information, at least reports, right? And anytime there's new reports, we'll bring it to you and we'll discuss it, give our opinion. I'm not saying these reports are fake. I'm not saying that they are 100% accurate. I do not know. They are not our reports. But there was a couple of them yesterday that are intriguing because we are inside of a week till the Starbond deadline. I understand on the Kansas side, it can be extended, but next Monday is June 30th. That would be the final day based on how it currently sits for those Starbonds. So this time next week, theoretically, the bonds would expire unless we get an extension announcement. There was a report yesterday from KCMO Talk Radio that said the Chiefs, according to their sources, had canceled 5 real estate contracts in Kansas, which people have said, all right, well, then maybe that means that they are staying at Arrowhead. And I totally get why people would put 2 and 2 together, if in fact that is true. It went on to say in that same report over at KCMO Talk Radio that they asked their source what they think will ultimately happen. And that source told them they believe the Royals are headed to the Legends in KCK. And the thought process there is that they can't win a vote in Missouri. And then it went on to say that the Chiefs believe Jackson County would actually vote in their favor. And that is where we are currently at. That's just a report that is out there. I'm just throwing it out there at this point in time. I thought a couple things were interesting with that. Number one, the idea that the Royals want to go to the Legends doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't. Think about what, going back to the very beginning, one, we know downtown baseball is ultimately what they said they wanted. And I understand as financial mechanisms of funding change, sometimes you have to pivot. So that's where the even 119th and Nall or 117th and Nall site has come into play. Totally get that. But the Royals wanted downtown baseball, and I would argue still want downtown baseball. We'll see if they can actually make that happen. Tell me how the Legends makes any sense, though, for the Royals. Because the difference for the Royals versus Chiefs and the Legends is you're talking about 80 nights, including Tuesdays and Wednesdays, versus 8 games at home plus playoffs on Sunday. People are willing to travel. You have the tailgating. You don't have to have you don't worry about the proximity to your base or anything like that as much for football as you do for Royals. You either go downtown where there's, you know, potentially more opportunities on day games and weekday games because people are working downtown and you say, all right, we're in the area kind of thing, or I'm getting off of work, or I'm taking a client to a game. We're all right there. That makes sense. Or, you know, the Johnson County side, obviously, to a certain extent, you could argue makes sense because a majority of their season ticket holder base is in Johnson County. And you are looking at potentially trying to get families to go out to games on weeknights. Are they more likely to go to Raytown, to downtown, Johnson County, or the Legends? And I would say the Legends would be no different than folks that are or not going maybe to Raytown. And I know there's more around the Legends, but in terms of travel for me, I can just tell you, like, driving to the current Truman Sports Complex and going to the Legends is basically the same drive for me. It doesn't change, like, it doesn't change anything for me. And I live, obviously, in the Overland Park area. So I just don't believe that the Royals are seriously considering the Legends site. Tell me if you disagree, but, and you guys let me know on the text line, I don't know why that would make any sense for the Royals.
Well, it's worked out, and let's look at that area, and I think, okay. I mean, it's doing okay. I wouldn't say it's, you know, overwhelmingly doing great in that area. It's a nice area. I mean, it's a really nice area. A lot of development there with new neighborhoods around there from there to through Baser and everything else that's really ignited that area. Speedway's out there. You got the casino out there, Hollywood Casino. It's doing well. And, of course, you got Sporting out there. Would the Royals go there? Well, you'd be close to your Johnson County base. I get that. And your Northland base, because it's not far to go to Legends if you live in Northland. I live up by the airport, so 15 minutes to Legends. Not bad at all. Missouri made a hard pitch to keep them here, and it's kind of where they've been. I do think that they would stay here or go downtown before that. The Jackson County thing, that might be a pipe dream at this point. I do believe that they would pass Chiefs only.
Yeah, I don't like think I the only, I think that's 100%
they will
correct.
Pass Chiefs only.
I think it's 100% correct that the Royals cannot afford a public vote and will not go down that path. I think the only way the Royals go anywhere is if a public vote is not required. I 100% think that's been kind of common thought at this point in time.
Here's the other thing, Gold, and this is why I think it stands a chance to pass now, because I think people got that reality check. Because when it first came out, you know, people were still pissed about the property taxes in Jackson sure. County being raised. They were, you know, upset with that and didn't put two and two together that, guess what, everybody in the city that stops in Jackson County pays that at the pump. So we all pay it in Jackson County. They didn't realize that. And that 1%. And they realized, man, that 1% was anybody that sings a concert there, anybody that plays at Arrowhead Stadium, including the Chiefs, or if the Yankees come to town, you're getting 1% of the salaries. Where's that money coming from? And I think that was a reality check for them because no one really brought that up, like, where are you going to recoup this money? But now they know. And now they know that, you know, the Royals couldn't, the Chiefs could leave. I don't think they thought that would happen, but I think as soon as it didn't pass and all of a sudden you hear, you know, they get Royals getting calls from Nashville or Salt Lake City or whatever, even though they're not going there.
Yeah.
But I think the reality of they could go to Kansas. I think the reality for people in Jackson County thinking, all right, you have a team that won a world championship in baseball in 15. You got three Super Bowls. They've won, well, four, if you go back to the first Super Bowl for the Chiefs, but three recently from the Chiefs. And those four championships, you're thinking, they're in your county. You know how hard that is bringing to your county in the first place? You have them. But all of a sudden, I mean, take Nashville and all those other areas out of the equation. But when you start hearing north of the river, like in Clay County, you start hearing Johnson County, and you start saying, you know what? This is realistic now. This is realistic that they probably will leave Jackson County. When they have their opportunity to keep them, that's why I think the reality is sunk in with people that, hey, we got another chance here. Let's make sure they stay in Kansas City.
Yeah, but
Jackson.
I don't think that applies to the Royals, though. I do not think the voters in Jackson County would give the Royals what they would want on a public vote. No, I think there was no chance that the Royals go to a public vote. So that either means go to Kansas or it means that they have worked out something with Casey Moe, which gets me to another report yesterday from Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4, who's done a great job covering this over the last couple of years. We've had him on the show and he's been on the station multiple times throughout this entire process as it's dragged on from year after year now. And he spoke to a few leaders in Casey Moe who once again, and, you know, ensured, if you will, that a vote would not be required for the Royals stadium if, in fact, it got to that point in time. Also said that they do not have to have a proposal by June 30th, because we've all talked about June 30th is the Kansas Star Bond deadline. So the thought was that, hey, you got to have this proposal if you're Missouri and Casey Moe with the Royals and everything by then. Otherwise, they're going to go to Kansas. This report kind of disputes that. It also does say in the same story that the site there, Washington Square Park, that according to Kevin O'Neill in this story, he's the councilman in Port Casey vice chair. He says that architects have done their due diligence and the footprint of a ballpark can fit in that Washington Square Park area. Because remember, some people said, hey, can you actually fit a ballpark there? And that's that site right by, I guess it'd be to the east of Union Station there. So I find all this very interesting. I do think hopefully next week we have some clarity on it. I don't know if I buy the Royals to the Legends part of it as much as I would if you told me the Chiefs would end up at the Legends. Although that report from KCMO Talk Radio yesterday about the Chiefs land contracts, I mean, I do think that is fairly telling that why would you cancel those contracts if you were planning on going to the Kansas side? So the Chiefs,
you would not have canceled
the Chiefs renovating Arrowhead, I would agree that seems more and more likely day by day. But that will require a public vote. I think the Chiefs can get the public vote, though. I think fans and residents, voters in Jackson County are way more likely to do a Chiefs-only project and financing than they ever would be for the Royals. I just think it's the Hunt family has been here for much, much longer. The Chiefs obviously have had way more success. All of that goes into it. There's, for whatever reason, people have not felt the same way about John Sherman, even though I think time and time again he has shown with how he's invested in this team, how he's engaged with the community, that he is about keeping this team in Kansas City and making sure that it's stable and all this. But for whatever reason, that hasn't translated as well as I think they would have liked, clearly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just want to hurry up and get it done.
Well, sure.
And hopefully the Chiefs would go in, you know, full bore on this. This is what we want to do, like really nice renderings. You know, this is exactly what we want to do. But I know deep down that they want all that stuff, though. They've always been enamored with SoFi and, you know, everything around that stadium and the other ways you can make revenue now because things are different. It's about hotels. It's about restaurants. It's about bars. Even if you're not going to be downtown, which Chiefs never would be, right, still tailgate and everything else, but there'd be a lot more room out there. They'd have a ton more room out there if they were the only show in town and they're in the Royals built downtown or somewhere else, which is probably what's going to happen. So they'd have that whole parking lot space there anyway, actually be a lot more open for tailgating, even better than it is now. But the reality of the situation about them going or keeping the Chiefs, it would have to be them coming strong with renderings. Now, I don't know how bad they want a dome. Like, deep down, I think they kind of want one because it would bring the Super Bowl and other things to this town. And I don't think it's a pipe dream anymore. Once you have the draft and things like that, I think it opens up. Once you have the World Cup, things like that. Again, this town is so much different than it was early on. It just is. You just think about the last couple of years, hosting an NFL draft in Kansas City. Whoever thought that would happen? They're hosting the World Cup, and they beat out cities like Denver to host World Cup games. Kansas City's a major player now in sports. It wasn't before, but it is now. New airport, all these things make Kansas City more attractive, help Kathy Nelson try to go out and give presentations to different events coming to Kansas City. But this is a different time and a different era for Kansas City, and I hope people realize that because – this isn't the same old town. This isn't the same old town at all. This is a very, very forward sports town.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll talk a little bit about how we view this Chiefs upcoming season. Yesterday, there were some bold predictions out there from NFL.com about the NFL as a whole. We'll take a stab at it when it comes to just the Chiefs end of things. That's coming up in just a bit. But I want to talk Royals, who will begin a homestand tonight against the Tampa Bay Rays. Big homestand, Dodgers in town. We're going to get into specifics about what has to happen this week coming up at 11 o'clock. But I was looking at the latest update from All-Star voting because that came out yesterday. And the All-Star game this year is down in Atlanta.
That'll depress you.
What's that?
It'll depress you.
Why?
Our guys have a lot of work to do.
Oh, I thought you meant like being in Atlanta or the All-Star game coming up. Why am I mad about the did anybody else hear that? I don't know.
I'm just looking at the Royals and where they sit in the All-Star voting, and it would depress you.
Gotcha. I hear you, Bink. I got you. All right. So Bobby Witt Jr. is a ways behind Jacob Wilson, who's having an unreal rookie season. He's going to be the American League Rookie of the Year this year, and he's got 1.1 million votes. Bobby Wood Jr.'s in second, 868,000. So I don't think he's going to close that gap. But there are two players that should absolutely be getting more love, enough to, you know, overtake a Jose Ramirez of Cleveland there in third base. Probably not, but he should not be as far back as he is. And I'm talking about Michael Garcia. So Michael Garcia right now is in seventh place in voting for third base. He's not even on, like, they don't even show the, when a lot of the articles, you know, they just show the top three and the votes. He doesn't even show up on the list because he's that far down. It makes no sense, except this goes back to the fan and why fan voting is not as weighed as much as it is overall.
It is for starters.
Yeah, but not in the whole grand scheme of things. We all know the whole Vote Omar thing back here in the day and how Royals fans took over that. They don't let you do that anymore. But Michael Garcia is losing out because people outside of Kansas City don't know who he is. But Michael, I think this was Nick Capel over at the Royals who put out some of his ranks in terms of statistical categories among all American League third basemen. Did you know he's first in doubles, second in average, second in hits, second in stolen bases, tied for second in extra base hits, third in on-base percentage, third in OPS, third in total bases, third in RBI among all AL third basemen, yet he's seventh in All-Star voting. I think it's a shame, not that he was going to overtake Jose Ramirez, but the fact that he's seventh in voting is pretty pathetic at this point in time. He should absolutely be an All-Star representing the Royals this year. He's had that kind of a season. He's got to get a little more love. I know they're trying campaign-wise. He's not going to get the starter nod, but I hope that players and managers who ultimately will have an opportunity there end up making sure Michael Garcia gets in, because the numbers he's put up, there's no reason he shouldn't be an All-Star.
No, it's name recognition, that's one. And two, just kind of how the team's performing. If they were running away with first, a lot more recognition for that. And, of course, these games on primetime help. You know, when Fox does the games or the Apple TV. I don't know how many people are actually watching Apple TV, but the Fox game that they had the other night, that stuff helps. But this is a baseball problem, too. You know, they're not seeing who the stars are. The good news is the other 23 remaining players will be the players' vote and the commissioner's office, because they do what's right and who deserves it. But the players know who he is. They know who Michael Garcia is. But I think the Royals not hitting the ball well and really being the pitching, being the, you know, what's carrying the Royals, and the name recognition, because I think it's really hard to get it to be a household name in baseball. It is incredibly difficult to get into that club.
Yeah, it's a marketing issue. Someone texted in, and I think there's some truth to this. I would argue this would have been the case whether the Royals were in first place or in third place. But someone said, hey, it makes plenty of sense with his votes right now. Royals are an average team, not going to get noticed. I think there's some truth to that. But I honestly believe you told me the Royals were 10 games above 500. I don't think Michael Garcia is second in voting at third base. I think some of it is truly across baseball, how many people know the name Michael Garcia? And if your argument is, well, if they were playing better baseball, I'll call BS on that a little bit. 3 months, 3.5 months into the season, I don't think, you know, folks in New York and LA would be voting for, or Texas would be voting for Michael Garcia. This is just he hasn't done it on the playoff stage because last year he didn't have a great season. And we're still talking about the Royals. Like, nationally, everybody knows Bobby Wood Jr. People know Cags already because of everything. Salvador Perez. The same thing applies with Chris Bubich. Like, how many people outside of Kansas City know about Chris Bubich? And he's having a Cy Young type of season.
And, you know, part of the problem is, you know, ESPN, they don't really talk Major League Baseball. They're losing it anyway. So they don't really spotlight players. But you go to the flagship of the league, MLB Network, right? And you look at the Royals. And, yes, they do show their highlights or whatever. But they usually kind of thrown in a little bit or thrown in at the end. But they don't spotlight like, hey, look at what Michael Garcia is doing. They might do Bobby or something like that, but they don't do Mikel.
Well, not everybody has MLB Network either. Like,
I don't
have
the
MLB
morning
Network.
Shows, so I know, Mark DeRozan does a great job of spotlighting different Royals. Like he does. That's the one guy that does. But the other shows and everything, they're like, hey, you see what this kid's doing? Like, they just don't spotlight him. They don't promote him. And again, this is a baseball program problem, not spotlighting their players.
Yeah. Hopefully he gets his love and ultimately gets a spot at some point in time. But I was surprised to see him all the way at seventh, considering the type of year he's had. The other player also, then this one, like, the numbers are there. And it's actually impressive that he's doing this on a team that is under 500. I'm talking about the Royals closer, Carlos Estevez, because he's got 22 saves. You know that leads all of baseball. That's not just an American. That's all of baseball. He's ahead of Suarez, who obviously just
got
the
save.
Which
is crazy for the record.
And so in this case, actually, the fact that he's not on as good of a team should be that much more impressive. To have 22 saves on a team that has, what are we up to now, 38 wins, 39 wins,
he's
whatever.
He's going out there with one-run leads, like high-pressure situations.
Yeah, I know at times it's an adventure. It can be dicey. You know, the strikeout numbers for him are where he's not as impressive. You go his strikeouts over nine. It's 7.5 compared to a Suarez who's 9.2 or Josh Hader's 13.9, which is insane. I think the Reds have a player. It's like 11 point something. So there's guys that average more strikeouts over nine, and maybe that hurts them in this conversation. But you have the league lead in saves, the entire majors, and you're on a team that's not even above 500. Like, how is he not going to get more attention? And to me, not just because it was our bold prediction before the season and I said he was going to be an all-star, but like, honestly, he's backing it up. He's got the numbers. He's got a 2.14 ERA. That's lower than Suarez on the NL side.
The good news is he'll be there.
His competition is Josh Hader, who has a 1.83 ERA and 18 saves, and he's averaging 13 strikeouts over nine.
Unless the commissioner's office say, hey, you know what? We got a couple Royals on there anyway. We've made the quota of getting at least one on there. So maybe that could happen, but I do think he finds his way on there.
Right now, who would you guess the Royals have? If they have like two all-stars, who are the all-stars? Because Bobby's still, like, he's even though, like, in Kansas City, it's viewed as him not having as good of a year, he's still putting up insane numbers overall.
Bobby, for sure.
So Bobby.
And it would have to be
Carlos?
Pitchers. So Carlos or.
What about Chris Bubich?
Chris Bubich.
I mean, that's the thing. They're not going to get five all-stars.
No, you're not. But Chris Bubich, again, what sucks is he was leading Major League Baseball in ERA until that Yankees game. Remember Jazz Chisholm where he actually struck him out? And he got a four strikes on him, then the floodgates opened on him in that situation. He's been so good. Honestly, I'd put Bubich there.
Yeah.
I'd go starter.
I have a feeling one of them might be an alternate. Maybe that's the solution here to get the three. Because otherwise, I would say that deep down in terms of performance, I think it should be Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt, and Carlos. Those would be the three all-stars. But if you told me only two, man, if I could only vote for two, I think Michael and Carlos, and that's weird because like Bobby, some of it is just like, if I can actually just pick two of the, I'll get the guy that hasn't gone before. That's part of what I'm selecting here. Cause Bobby, I would argue could be an all-star probably the next 8 years of his career, every single year, 10 years of his career. He's going to be that type of player throughout. Whereas Michael is just having the best year of his career. And I think statistically, when you basically been the second best third baseman in the American League, that should be all-star worthy. Bobby's been the second best shortstop in the American League. That should be all-star worthy. Carlos has been the best closer in baseball. That should be all-star worthy.
And Bubich's numbers, they're awesome. They're still 2.12 ERA, but they've slipped. He's like 28th in baseball now in ERA. What? It's not his fault. Again, the floodgates opened, but people don't know. The win-loss things, that's going to that stands out to people.
Yeah, what's the updated criteria and all
even
this?
Even though Skeens is so
they've
good.
They've changed this so many times. I'm trying to remember what, like, obviously if you finish first, you're the starter. But I'm trying to remember how the MLB does all-star voting. If you finish top two, does that guarantee you a spot if you finish top two in fan voting, or does it reset completely? I'm trying to remember how
for
they...
For pitchers, I think.
I'm trying to remember how they have aligned this. Because this phase one of balloting is over, right? Isn't that where we're at?
Yeah, and don't forget the final vote for the close vote getters, where people can go out there for the final guy.
The Royals player's not going to win that.
They have before, but they won't be on it.
Back when they were going to the World Series.
They won't be on it.
Yeah, back when they were in the World Series.
They will not be on it.
I'll have to get clarification on it. I was trying to see what the exact breakdown is. If you finish top two, are you guaranteed a starting spot or not? But we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. Up next, though, guys, let's talk about this NFL season and the bold predictions that were out there from NFL.com. We'll try to make a few of our own for the Chiefs next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Next year on Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon, Jay Binkley fill in for Cody. Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll talk about this homestand, which begins tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Royals Rays, Royals Dodgers later on in the week, all right here on 96.5 The Fan. So yesterday, we were talking about NFL.com. They did their bold predictions. You know, we were saying some of them are bolder than others. You know, they had the Bills to win the Super Bowl or Ashton Jeanty to have 2,000 yards. That was something we discussed right around this time yesterday. And we said, hey, let's do a couple of our Chiefs bold predictions. And there'll be some new ones once we get to camp and see how Josh Simmons is going to do. I avoided doing any Josh Simmons or Jalen Moore bold prediction because truly, I need to see if he's actually there day one of training camp and practicing. Like Andy Reid says, Josh Simmons is going to. So I'll let you, we'll work this around the table a little bit. You guys can text in. Give me your Chiefs bold prediction for the season. 913-586-7965. Bink, give me your first one. I got like two or three of these.
I have like four.
I figured. Or five. I figured. Or seven or eight. I figured. Bink.
The Chiefs will still win the division.
Okay.
They'll push the AFC West titles to 10 straight, one shy of the Patriots record of 11. But it won't be from four games like last year. Things will tighten up. It'll be by one game.
Yeah,
so still win it, but it'll be by one game.
Is that bold? I'm not.
Well, by saying one game instead of four, whatever, I still. You know what? A lot of people aren't picking the Chiefs to win the division.
That's
so
true.
So in a way, it does become bolder because everybody's Broncos and Chargers, where I'm still Chiefs, but it's closer.
We'll allow it. We'll allow it. Yeah, I don't think it's that crazy, though. I would agree that like the Chiefs are not...
Drew's not accepting this.
The Chiefs are not going to win 15 games this year. There's a scenario where they win less and you actually say, hey, they seem better positioned, as weird as that might say.
Because if
the offense is actually clicking and Mahomes is protected better, they could be a 12 or 13 win team, but you feel better about their overall chances. I think there's truth to that. I don't expect them to win it by four games this year either. I think... most likely, this is a division win. If you told me the Chiefs got to 13, that's probably good enough to win it. If they got to 12, they might have to win a tiebreaker.
Because they've had better teams than they did last year, even though they won 15 games. They've been better before.
No doubt.
And they threw a game away.
Yeah, I don't think that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, bold-ish? I don't know if it's bold or not, but yeah.
Well, it fits in the criteria.
I'll throw one. Bink might not like this one. I've got one for you. Charles Omenihu will have a double-digit sack season.
Ooh.
When he's been healthy, Charles...
Now that's a hot take.
Yeah. I don't know if it's okay. I didn't know how bold you thought that was.
I don't know if it's hot, but I like it. I think
Charles Omenihu, remember, he is still not even 28 years old. His story has been staying healthy. But when he's on the field, guys, you would agree, right, that he's been pretty damn good. Last year, he only played in 11 games. He was coming back from the ACL. He still had seven sacks. Sorry, he had one sack. He played in six. He only had one sack.
The year before he came back.
Yes.
He'll be in a rotation, though.
He had the suspension the year before, and he had 11 games, seven sacks. Last year, only played in six games, started one, had one sack. I think double-digit sacks is absolutely in play.
He's a guy that wants to go out and get money, too.
Yeah, he's got that motivation. Anything less than eight, I think, would actually be really disappointing for him. So, yeah, double-digit sack season for Charles Manihue.
Here's one of my true opinion. Sizzling hot.
That's not obnoxious at all. Sound effect was not obnoxious at all. Where was that from?
It's a frying pan from my folder.
Okay.
folder. Okay, so I'll give you guys one. I think Noel Williams starts by week four. He is going to replace Jalen Watson. I think he will be starting by week four.
By week four.
I almost said week three, which obviously would be more bold. But I'll say by week four, Noel Williams is a certified starter for this Chiefs defense.
You know what? I actually agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I won't disagree. I think it's a good take because I looked at the rookie class and you think, all right, who can actually start from this rookie class? Because it's a good – I like a lot of these – I like this rookie draft class a lot. But it's going to be a lot of role players, positional players. You know, Jalen Royal's not going to start, but he'll probably make an impact at some point. Burchard won't start, but make an impact. So Norman Lott, same way. I like that because Noel Williams on Character Concerns, where we look at the draft picks and draft classes.
Is that your podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We just dropped it today.
Yeah, I didn't know.
But – well, Drew's got one, too. I'll be on his. Well, I'm sure.
That's what I heard.
I promoted it a lot last week. Drew's 249 miles of college football. Very good podcast. But regardless, Noel Williams was our pick to start first out of the rookies. Would be Josh Simmons, but again, we don't know exactly the health. But Noel Williams, there's a theme with this Chiefs draft class where it was they did something. Like the pressure rate or quarterback pressure rate for my Ashton Gelati, Omar Armour Lotz. Pressure rate as well. I mean, analytical. This is a very analytical draft from the Chiefs. Noel Williams led the nation in interceptions. The dude's a ball hawk. Not to mention he picked off Cam Ward in an actual game this year when Cal played Miami. But he's a certifiable ball hawk, and he's very good against the run. We had his coach on. He's like, somebody's mock draft things. He'll say, well, he's not good against the run. His coach came on and poo-pooed that and said, no, this guy's good against the run. But I agree with Noel Williams.
Yeah, it might even be before. I mean, it could be week two. It could be out of camp if things go really, really well.
But some of these text messages are good.
We're going to get to your text, too. Some really good predictions. We're just going through some bold Chiefs predictions based off of NFL.com doing their national ones. My last one I'll give you, Bank, and then we can get to the text line. And so I know you have like five or six of these. For me, Rashee Rice, 1,400-yard season. This is obviously based on him not getting suspended.
That would put him top five, right? I think.
Top five?
Yeah. If he's suspended three games, then he's obviously not going to have 1,400 yards. But 1,400 yard season, it's bold. No doubt.
So how many 1,000 yard receivers? If he gets 1,400,
the Chiefs have? How many
first
thousand?
First of all, where do you have Mahomes at? 4,000, 4,500?
4,200 plus at least.
Okay. Yeah. So 1,400 for Rice, then.
Yeah.
1,400 would have put him third.
1,000 yard, like Worthy get 1,000?
Yeah. 1,400 would have put him third in the league behind Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson.
Yeah. It's a bold prediction.
I like it.
He was on pace.
The fact that he was on pace, I think, actually.
That's what I'm basing it off of.
You know?
Prior to that Chargers injury, he was on pace. That was a small sample size. But I think, in terms of the role they would like him to have in this offense, it runs through him, not Travis Kelce. That was not last year. The plan was not for Travis Kelce to be the guy. That doesn't mean Kelce can't be a huge factor still. And mean Kelce still can't have 900 yards. All that, it can be true. But you look at finding that spot in the zone. Basically, who did he learn from? Travis Kelce. That's Rashee Rice is so good at finding that spot there, and then obviously getting yards after the catch. He also has looked good at minicamp. He's on track to be good to go for camp, all of that. So, yeah, it's a bold prediction. To be conservative with it, I would tell you he's a 1,200-yard guy, but I'll go bold 14. That's what we're doing.
They won 15 games. They made it to the Super Bowl. What total number do you think led the Chiefs last year in yards?
900-something.
No. 823, Travis Kelce led the way. 638, Xavier Worthy. Noah Gray was third with 437. He's actually tied with D-Hop, 437. So, no player had more than 850 last year. This team won 15 games and made the Super Bowl. Would they open things up? That's the question, because you're saying 600 more yards beyond what the highest total was last year for Worthy.
I mean, people on the text line, I mean, I've seen two Pat gets 5K passing yards again.
Wow.
This year, which is bold.
Yeah. All right. What's one more for you? And then we'll read some of these texts.
Yeah, and I've got a couple more, too. But George Karloftis sets a career.
We'll get to those later. We'll be talking about this later.
George Karloftis is going to be looking for money as well. I do believe in George, and I like how he gets better and better each time. Tom Bali's working with him in the offseason, doing the jiu-jitsu and everything else. But George Karloftis, I think, gets a career high in sacks. He had 8 last year. I think he could have had even more than that. But George Karloftis has never got more than, I think, is 10 his high watermark? I think it is. 10.5. He had 10.5 one year. But I have George Karloftis getting to 12 and setting a career number for him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, for his reason, the contract year stuff comes into play.
And he only had 8 last year, so it'd be a growth of 4.
Yeah, we wondered, you know, going into last season, if he was going to take the big leap to put himself in that kind of elite edge rusher category. Right now, he's one of the better edge rushers. He's not in the elite category. If he were to get to 12, I think you could start putting him back in that conversation again. But yeah, last year was a little disappointing. Some of that will go, I think, if Charles Minnehue does what I think he can do this year, that's going to help Karloftis out big time as well. Give him somebody else on the other side. Because we know, unfortunately, they haven't got anything really out of Felix.
How do you guys feel about this text from the 816? I don't know how you feel about this. Mahomes gets hurt. The mustache.
Hang on.
The mustache takes over. We make the playoffs. Mahomes comes back, and we're in the conference title game. That coming from Ryan on the text line. He put his name out there on this.
So your
one.
Bold prediction is an injury.
Okay. And then they're right. Back in the conference title game.
I'll be honest, I hate that whole thing.
I was going to say, I don't know how that makes you feel. Yeah, Chiefs fans, guys.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
One thing I liked about your pick with Minnehue, though, is contract year, and he's not making all that much money. Like, this is his incentive. He's 28, so it would behoove him to get that. He came back to the Chiefs. Chiefs like him. He likes the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But he's 28, and this is where he could get that big contract for an edge rusher if he performs this year.
913-586-7965. All right, we got a bunch of texts on this. Let's try to run through a couple of them that stood out to us. One for somebody here. Someone says that Hollywood Brown will lead the team in yards. So just all-purpose yards.
Bold. That's pretty bold.
That's bold.
It's very bold.
Wide receiver 3?
For that to happen, honestly, let's talk it out for a second. For that to happen, number one, he has to stay healthy. That might be the toughest thing. Secondly, Rashee Rice might have to be suspended for this to happen.
He's good for about 2 to 3 misses a year.
Yeah, I've been a little more bullish on Hollywood Brown than I know. Like, Cody and I have gone back and forth on what we think he can be, and I think last year was a very unfortunate injury. I don't put that in the same category as having a hamstring injury in week 4. That was literally one of the rare injuries in the NFL. We've only seen that, what was it, sternoclavicular or whatever the heck it was, a very rare thing.
He had a few 16-game seasons in Baltimore.
Look, Hollywood Brown, I think, could have 800 yards this year, and that some people think I'm way too bullish on that. Leading the team in yards, that either means the offense is really bad and 900 leads the team, or like I just can't imagine a Hollywood Brown having 1,200 yards for this team. I just, anybody else?
He'll be effective.
No.
I do think he gets in the end zone at least 4 times, okay. Yeah. But I don't see 1,000 yards. 800 maybe.
Here's another one. Someone says, Mahomes will have 40 plus passing touchdowns. They even have a bet on it. They said 10-1, 40 plus passing touchdowns. Well, that'd get him back top 5 offense.
I had a Mahomes figure as well.
What was his, I'd have to go look just for comparison. What was he doing the last couple of years? Touchdowns.
He's hit three seasons, I think, over 40.
Yeah, but last year was only 26.
Last year's 26.
Yeah, 26 last year, 27 the year before.
But you had your receivers 1 and 2 basically not play with you all year.
26, 27, 41, 37. He's only gone over 40 twice. Yeah, I'd probably fade that one.
Hit 41, came close I'd to probably 37, fade it. 38.
If he had 35 to 38 touchdowns this year, that'd be a great season. It'd be a good sign for this offense.
I honestly think he'll get to 35.
So do I. 40, though, is a different animal. I mean, even as great as he's been, he's only done that twice.
But he set out a few of the last games, you know, for
10-1 though. Yeah, by the way, the year he got 41, he played in all 17. The year he got 50, of course, he played in 16. They were the ones.
And keep in mind, when he put his like crazy stats of 5,000 yards in 50 touchdowns, the defense was like his defense at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to put like that's one thing. You put up big numbers when your defense sucks, you know, just like Joe Burrow, Drew, when your defense is the worst in the league, the quarterback's gonna put up numbers. And the Chiefs' defense has gotten better, so the quarterback's numbers are going to go down. That's just common sense.
I like this next one from the text line. Someone says, Isaiah Pacheco will have a 1,000-yard season. I'll admit, I almost put this one down for mine. Here was my hesitation, because I'm almost right there with you, was I think they got so many guys in the backfield that are kind of, you know, all right, that I think it gets split up way too much. But in fairness, Pacheco has come very close. He had 830 his rookie year. he had 935. And then last year, of course, he had the injury. So he only had 300, 310. I think he can be an 800 to 950 yard back. I don't think it's that crazy to say he could be a 1,000-yard back. I just wonder with Breshad Smith, with Elijah Mitchell, Kareem Hunt, if the offense is more explosive, if they're going to run the ball even less. That would be my only hesitation. I do think Pacheco has a bounce-back season, as in he's fully healthy, and he looks like the Pacheco from before, which was a very nice back. Nothing crazy, not explosive, but a very nice back to have. 1,000 yards, when he's 26, when he's even he hasn't done it when he was fresh and healthy and younger. I don't know why do I think this year would be the 1,000-yard season?
I think it's be split up so much, and I think third downs you won't see him as much. Because I think it's gonna be a lot of Kareem Hunt, a lot of Breshad, a lot of that on third down situations. I just don't think he would have the carries enough to get to 1,000.
All right, give me one more that you have, Bink.
One more of that. Well, we've kind of done Mahomes there. So, but anyway, I'll just go back to Mahomes. I said 4,500 yards. He goes from 3,900 to 4,500. Because if the receivers stay healthy, I think it's very, very possible. 4,500 and 35 touchdowns. And he finishes second.
I was going to say, with those numbers, he's going to be top three MVP.
Well, no, there's more to it. And he finishes second in the MVP. So he's back under that category where people debate it towards the end of the year. Will Mahomes win MVP or not? And the Chiefs get to number five, back in the top five in scoring offense. Because they've been 15 the last 2 years, then they were one, then they were four. I think they can get back to top five.
I mean, that's the, if you were to ask like the utopian dream scenario, everything goes perfect for the team and the off, it, what you just described would be everything. Everybody's healthy. O-line is fixed.
But it's the like bold the, part is yeah, going from 15 sure. to five.
I hear you. No, but that I it's bold for sure. I'm just saying, if for that to all happen, you would agree, right? Like everything
perfect
has
world.
To kind of go
perfect
right.
World.
Yeah, and I hope you're right on that.
But the one
yeah.
thing I'm happy about is, and we talked a little bit about it yesterday, how, you know, Mahomes was asked, how nice is it to have all your mm-hmm. receivers back because they're used to it? And then the clip I played you with Andy Reid, talking, you know what? We can install different packages early on the season. We don't have to wait because they already know it. Like, that part helps, that these guys are ready to go at the beginning. So that bodes well for the quarterback putting up numbers.
I see your texts. We'll keep getting to those a little bit later on the show. I promise we'll bring this back, some of the bold predictions. Some of you have texted in. We got some good ones still coming in to 913-586-7965. Let's transition a little bit, though, to what is going to come out in about 2 weeks or so. Quarterback, this is what, the third iteration of this. They did the receivers the year before or whatever, but quarterback is back. We know Mahomes was in it in the debut year, and I thought it was great. Kirk Cousins was in it. Kirk Cousins is back
He's
in
back.
It. Joe Burrow, though, Drew, I mean, we might not hear from between college football video game release and this quarterback show. Drew, we may not be able to text
but
him and get a response back.
He didn't want to be in it, right? He didn't want to be in it. Do you remember that when he didn't want to be in it?
Here's the
He's
trailer.
Very private guy.
Here's part of the trailer that just came out.
You know, you only have so many of these seasons.
New week. Let's go.
Start out your career, you're like, okay, I'm going to be playing for 15, 20 years. It seems like a lot. And then you blink your eye and you're in year five. Hey! Next time I blink my eye is going to be year 10. Now where we're at, the great ones make it work.
How did you get that out?
Get used to it.
I feel so lucky to be the quarterback.
Man, 3-1-2-3-3!
What? As a quarterback,
you have to be that guy that your teammates are relying on.
Kirk gonna throw. It's pass!
How about that, boys and girls, getting back to the slick route?
A lot of people in my former organization may have thought I was being cast away, but I saw an opportunity I had here. It was special.
This life is definitely not normal.
He's the most popular figure we have.
That's my man, Joe Cool Burrow.
He's everywhere.
How'd it look?
It looked good.
All right. There's a part of me that just always wants to fix things.
I overled him.
Third down. I do not want to give them the ball back. Clock is our friend.
Bam!
It's not all on him, but it's a lot on him.
Second turnover of the ball game.
Hold on, I got it.
We got this.
Sometimes you just need to mix it up a little bit. I just bought a Batmobile. I'm pumped about that.
And it goes on from there. That, of course, was
this
Joe Burrow.
This is actually the second season of quarterbacks, not third. Second for quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's what I said. Third of the quarterback show. They had the receiver one.
But they also talked about didn't have a trailer. They talked about his house being robbed.
Yeah,
like again, these are things. Joe Burrow's a very private guy. He didn't even want to do this at first, I thought. Now he does it. And he was talking about his home being broken
into. The Batmobile.
Into. Like, I didn't know the Batmobile was in there. But I didn't think he'd be talking about his home broken into because he's been a very private guy. That's what him being on the show surprises me more than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I'm way more interested because the quarterbacks are back involved. I mean, it just wasn't nearly as good when it was Justin Jefferson, as much as he's a hell of a player. It just wasn't as fun of a show to watch. Quarterbacks are what drives this league. And the NFL is all about quarterbacks. We talk about quarterbacks more than any other position in sports, period. So the show having, what, it's Goff, it's Burrow, and it's
Cousins.
Those are the three.
What are they going to do with Cousins? He's getting benched? Because they didn't
remember, that didn't happen until like November.
It's his family life or whatever.
Yeah. I mean,
I think Goff's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I actually think the Cousins angle is one of the more interesting ones I want to watch because he was a starter. He was coming back from an Achilles injury.
The draft in the trailer.
He didn't play well.
I would have rather seen Penix than Cousins.
He gets a rookie drafted right behind him and then ends up getting benched because he didn't play well. And then he had to just sit on the bench. I'm sure it talks about that emotional roller coaster. And to this day, he's still a member of the Falcons. So that's intriguing. Joe Burrow one will be intriguing because I want to see how frustrated he gets with his crappy defense throughout the entire season. Even though he's putting up ridiculous numbers, but I can't wait for the show. But we're gonna lose Drew, I'm telling you, for 2 weeks between college football video game and this show.
Just wait till the SEC docs come out. That's supposed to come out in August, I think. I'll pass on those.
Yeah,
I don't think Missouri's in it. I don't think Missouri's in it, Bink. I can't remember if Missouri's in it or not. I don't think so.
Yeah. I need to see the
quarterbacks. Some of these other ones, but this is better than Mariota being in it
because that was terrible. Marcus Mariota. I just did enjoy that.
Well, they basically phased him out the last two episodes.
Cousins is fine. I like Kirk Cousins.
That's going to be the Kirk Cousins angle is eventually they're just going to phase him out of it and it'll be
good.
Joe Burrow up to the playoffs and then it'll be all Jared Goff. It'll be all Jared Goff the last two episodes.
I've seen enough of it. I'd rather see Matt Stafford or somebody else said just somebody new. I'd like to see all
these guys
don't
agree to it.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, I actually think
Lamar Jackson loves Hollywood. He would have been in here.
Having a quarterback benched makes it a little intriguing.
It is ironic how the story, because I don't remember, it was Kirk Cousins, it was Marcus Mariota, and it was Mahomes in the first one.
Yeah.
You had Super Bowl, you had playoffs, you had benching. Like in this one, you get quarterback gets benched, you get quarterback is great, but the defense stinks and they don't make the playoffs, and then you get a quarterback that's expecting to go to the Super Bowl, the Lions don't quite get there. Like it fits three different phases of the season for those three guys.
They should have just, the teams want to protect the rookie quarterback. So that's part of the problem. You're never going to get like Jaden Daniels in year one on quarterbacks. Like these teams, they're not going to put them under that microscope
in
their rookie season.
Though.
For sure. Yeah. But you know why teams wouldn't do that. Now, maybe Jaden Daniels or Kayla Williams are on the show next year or something like that. And we usually don't find out who's on the show until the year's over or halfway through it. But I understand why, much like Hard Knocks has like exemptions. I'm assuming I'll be shocked if we ever really have a rookie quarterback on the quarterback show, because if you're the team, you're trying to protect that guy so much.
You know, one guy I think would be really good, Baker Mayfield, just his like resurgence in the NFL and his teammates buying it. I think that would have been interesting.
I think so.
Good angle. Or Josh Allen. He's the MVP. Why not have Josh Allen do it? He's in a Hallmark movie like you, Gold.
That's true. We got something in common, don't we?
You do. You and Josh Allen.
That's true.
I don't know if he's in that movie, but
actually, yeah, you say that he's not in it.
Oh, he's not.
Just
in
like
it.
Mahomes wasn't in the Chiefs Hallmark movie.
I think somebody mentions Baker. That'd be an interesting one. If Shador ever wins the Browns job, then Shador is going to be in this series
at some point.
I almost guarantee. Like Netflix won't.
Are they going to go driving with him
if he becomes?
Jeez.
I don't know. I mean, they might have him driving the G-Wagon around.
No, I don't think he's driving. He said he's done driving. He can't handle speed limit. He's done driving.
I just think C.J. Stroud, Jalen Hurts.
I think we make so much of a big deal out of that when it's, for some people, it is a problem, but.
Big deal about what part, sorry?
About driving too fast over the speed limit.
Well, so it's two things.
I think we make too big of a deal about it sometimes.
So in the legal sense, it's like a fourth whatever misdemeanor. You're right. In the legal sense, it's not, him speeding is not a big deal.
He was clean.
When you are at that level of athlete, when you have already a lot of baggage coming in, when you're trying to avoid distractions, when you're trying not to embarrass your team, when you're such a public facing figure, having reportedly what, two speeding tickets, by the way, he wasn't just going 5 over, 10 over and got screwed. Okay. He
was second
going,
one.
I think it actually is worthy of conversation in the legal sense. You're correct. It doesn't matter. You question the decision-making of a guy that people are already questioning. You know, you don't want that if you're the Cleveland Browns. That's all.
His last week's going over 100. I mean, that stands out. But again, everything was fine. I mean, everything ended up fine. There was nothing illegal except for the speed.
Yes.
I mean, we've all gone fast. I told Drew.
I mean, if you're saying it's a good thing he didn't have, like, weapons in the car, yes, correct. It is better than that.
I told Drew. Or I told Drew, like, everybody's sped. I mean, nobody goes just the speed limit. We say, hey, what's the fastest you've gone?
That's not the
Maybe
point.
Maybe it's over 100 miles, and I'm sure it is.
If I went 40 over and then went 40 over 2 weeks later, that's a problem. That would be a problem.
He's like going fast.
Yeah. Anyway, up next, let's get to the Royals homestand. Rays, Dodgers at home, plus what's going on with the Royals 1 through 5 hitters in particular. So numbers that might actually surprise you. That's coming up right here on Cody and Gold.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.